So we're on week 5 now of our series on Philippians. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, keep that open at Philippians chapter 2. We're now beginning at verse 19. Apologies for my voice this morning. Feeling a bit husky and sorry for myself. So much sympathy required later, please. Thank you. I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, a hard act to follow. You heard that phrase? Yes, Ben? Yes. Or you've seen a really bad sequel to one of your favourite films. You ever had that experience? I think for me, the prize for most disappointing sequel is The Matrix Revolutions. Singularly one of the worst films I've ever seen for me in my entire life. After one of the best films I've ever seen, The Matrix. And there's a sort of rubbish one in between as well. I was so disappointed with the film in the cinema, I was actually angry. It was such a hard act to follow, that first film. But probably the hardest act to follow is Jesus. In the last couple of weeks, we've heard just how high he sets the bar. We've listened to Paul telling us to have the same mind as Jesus, to do nothing out of selfish ambition, to do everything without complaining, grumbling, or arguing. We've seen Jesus' perfect example of obedience, and we've been challenged by Paul to work out our salvation as God works in us. It frankly sounds like an impossible task. I don't know if you felt that looking through Philippians 2. It seems like I could never do that. And in a sense, it is an impossible task. This side of heaven, we will always fall short. We will keep struggling, won't we, with our sinful desires. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying. When we looked at the beginning of Philippians, it's about 5 weeks ago now, feels like quite a long time ago, I quoted verse 6. Perhaps if you flick over the page to look at chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And I said that that verse encourages me because God isn't done with me yet. I'm still a work in progress. And so are you. I'm not the finished article. God is at work in me and will continue to be at work in me and you. And the thing is, at least a work in progress is in progress. We are on a journey of faith. We're not standing still, at least we're not supposed to be. We're on a journey of discipleship, of following Jesus. Some days we do better than others, don't we? But we need to keep trying. And that's why, immediately after giving those the example of Jesus, the perfect example, Paul gives us three more examples. A little bit less perfect. Three examples, himself, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. To show us that following Jesus, that working out our salvation is still worth the effort. Because God is at work in us. So the first example is Paul himself. Have a look in verse 19. Paul says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus." And then in verse 24 he says, "I am confident in the Lord." Paul's hope and his confidence, not in himself, but in the Lord. He knows that he, Paul, is not in charge, but he, Jesus, is. So on the face of things, Paul was under the control of the Imperial Guard, wasn't he? He was in prison, awaiting trial. But he knew who was really in charge, Jesus. Sometimes said that when we're put under pressure, we show our true colours, don't we? We find out who we really are. What, don't know what happens to you when you get put under pressure. Maybe you sort of curl into a ball. Maybe you get angry. Maybe you get frustrated. Maybe you run away. Maybe it brings out the best in you. I don't know. Depends how tired I am, how I react under pressure. I don't know how you react under pressure. But notice that Paul didn't rant and rave at God. Why am I in here? Why am I trapped like this? Instead, he was full of faith and obedience. Instead, he was looking for opportunities to serve the one who was in charge, Jesus, whatever his circumstances. There was no excuse. Oh, well, I'm in prison. This is happening in my life. That's happening in my life. There was no excuse. That's the next thing. Look in verse 22 with me. We're sort of flicking around the passage a bit today. I've sort of summarised it slightly differently to normal. Verse 22. Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. He and Paul and Timothy know who's in charge and they actively serve him. It's hard work. They put effort in. Had that reading from Luke. The translators sort of called it the cost of discipleship. There is a great cost in following Jesus, in serving him. It is hard work. Epaphroditus, if you look at verse 30, he almost died for the work of Christ. Feel a bit like today, like I've almost died for the work of Christ. Thank you. Except Epaphroditus actually almost died for the work of Christ. He didn't just have man flu. He served Paul on behalf of the people who sent him. They sent him as a messenger. He probably brought a letter from the church in Philippi to Paul, in response to which Paul is writing back to them. In verse 27, Paul says, Epaphroditus was ill and almost died. This poor guy. For him, serving Jesus came at a great cost. It almost cost him his life. And I sometimes wonder if that's why it's easy for Christians to slip into the habit of giving God just a small amount of time every week on a Sunday. We can all slip into that habit, can't we? Because the cost is too great. We're just not willing to give God every day. We just want to keep a little bit for ourselves. We don't want to sacrifice the things that we love. But Jesus said, if you do not give up everything for me, you cannot be my disciple. We must be willing to give up everything. Sometimes Christians can get into the habit of maybe being a bit passive, being happy to come along and receive on a Sunday, but maybe not to serve, to take their place in the life of the church. Let me tell you, there's always stuff I can find for you guys to do. We've had a notice up on the screen for weeks about gaps on the rota. If you think that you are slipping into some of those bad habits of either not being willing to serve or finding yourself being passive as a Christian, perhaps come and find me and say, I'd like to help with something. If you can't help on a Sunday, believe me, I've got stuff you can do during the week as well. And I will be on the lookout for people to help out with stuff, because I can't do it all by myself. I don't want to. We need to ask ourselves, what does it look like for me to obey Jesus? And a big part of that answer is always going to involve the word serve. Right at the beginning of the letter, Paul and Timothy say, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus. It's the first thing they say about themselves. And it should be the first thing we say about ourselves, servants of Jesus. Another big part of how we obey Jesus is how we treat one another. As we read through Philippians, I hope some of you have been doing some homework and reading through Philippians. Yeah, I hope you have. If you haven't yet, please, can I encourage you to do that? It's literally like 3.5 pages in my Bible. It really doesn't take long, and it's really worth it. And it will help you get the most out of these sermons on a Sunday as you read through it during the week as well. And you'll find out all sorts of things that I've missed, either deliberately or by mistake. But anyway, as we read through Philippians together, I hope you're getting a sense of how much Paul loved the Philippians. But it wasn't simply Paul who felt like that. Look at verse 20. It's talking about Timothy. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Even the church back then had problems with people not loving one another as Jesus loves us. For a while during my curacy, I was worried. One of my mentors a few years ago told me that my problem was a lack of love. I think he was wrong, but those words sort of echoed down for me. You know when people say something to you like that and you just can't forget it? Been a couple of times like that in my life, and that was one of them. And during my curacy, I was worried because I didn't feel like I showed this genuine concern like Timothy. I had a sort of surface concern for the people in my church. I'd sort of vaguely cared for them. I liked to see them and spend time with them, but you know what? At the end of the day, I didn't really care on that deep level. And I was really worried about that. And I beat myself up about it a lot. I thought there was something wrong with me, something missing. I would read verses like this and I think, where is my genuine concern? But as my curacy wore on, I realised that my love was growing. I realised I was starting to feel some of that genuine concern for the people around me in the church. The more I spent time with them, the more I got to know them, the more I cared and the more I loved. You see, friends, love is not only something that we have, it's something we have to do. And that's why I gave out those sheets earlier. Because as I said, we're praying this prayer, I hope every day, that our love may abound more and more. But that doesn't just mean that we receive more and more love from God, it means we must do more and more love for one another. Not just on our own, not just as a group, but both on our own and together. So I hope that there are some great ideas from you in that stuff for us to things to do together. And I hope that you can take that sheet home with you, the top half, and think about what you can actually do to abound in love. How do we love others? I think I said a couple of weeks ago, there's no point me standing up here rabbiting on if nothing changes. I want us to change. I want us to grow in love. To be built up, Paul says, in love. So obedience means acknowledging Jesus is in charge. It means serving him. It means learning to love and to serve one another. And finally, obedience means working together. Verse 22, Paul says that Timothy has served with me. In verse 25, he talks about Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. To work together, we must make the effort to be of one mind. To let that unity that is ours in Christ to bubble up to the surface. So it affects the way we behave, the way we are together. So that we're journeying not just side by side, but together, arm in arm. See, at one time in their lives, it would have been impossible for Paul and Epaphroditus to work together. Paul, as you may know, was a Pharisee. In fact, a bit later in Philippians, he calls himself a Pharisee of Pharisees, zealous for the law. Epaphroditus was a Greek, a Gentile. Paul would barely have even spoken to him, let alone eat dinner with him, let alone work with him, let alone call him a brother. There was a world between them. But in Christ, they were united. And they worked hard to let that unity bubble up. So it wasn't just some deep thing deep inside that no one could see, but it came out on the surface too. Be what you are, Paul says. Well, that's what they were doing. Churches can be full of divisions. Sometimes they can be full of big divisions, sometimes small divisions, sometimes all sorts of divisions. But we don't have a choice. We must work through them. And it's not a case of insisting, I'm right and you've got to join me. That's not how Christian unity works. Jesus did not make the Jews into Gentiles, and he did not make the Gentiles into Jews. He created one new humanity out of the two. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. One new humanity. He didn't make them like them or them like them. He made one new humanity out of both of them. That is the challenge of the church. To live out that kingdom every day. And boy, is that hard. It is so hard. And we'll never quite get there. There will always be divisions. But we have to try. We have to try. Hence the activity. I want us to do stuff. I want us to do some love and to do some unity together. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus showed in their own lives that it is possible to follow Jesus. However imperfectly, we still need to try. Next week, you may have spotted our passage is striving towards heaven. So we're going to have a bit more about striving next week and what that means. But there is so much joy in learning to live like this. Look at verse 29. Paul is sending Epaphroditus home and he says, "Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him." Because when people live out, when people follow Jesus like this, it is wonderful. And we can be full of joy. You're all looking a bit sad at the moment. It's some hard teaching, but it comes with great joy. Because this is what we were made for. Amen.